10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
This podcast presents information based on theory and conjecture. The creator's purpose is to suggest some possible explanation, but not necessarily the only ones to the mysteries we will examine. Remember, everything that you hear from this podcast comes from sources on the internet, and remember, if it's on the internet, it should be taken with a grain of salt and judge it by your own discretion. Come take a journey with us as we explore topics of the occult, paranormal, conspiracy, and other dark subject matter. Welcome to the Dark Matter Podcast with your host, Mojo and Dr. Clutch.
Hell yeah! We are back on part two of our show. And I want to thank everyone who's come on the show. We are back on the air. I believe we got Elvis back on. We got Melissa here. Welcome back. Thanks for being on our show. Really appreciate the involvement. Chuck, thanks for coming back on. Yes, we are on the air again for a little bit longer of an extended podcast to fully go back into the topic. I felt like we didn't have enough time to be able to talk about channeling and entities and experiences in the paranormal. And as always, I am your host and very humble host, Mojo the Mad. I'm with Dr. Clutch, who's got a PhD in fuck you, Elvis Voltaire. He is better than the king. And Missy Best, Valkyrie extraordinaire.
Extraordinaire, you say.
Yes, let those iron wings
fly. So I got a question
for
anybody.
Go ahead.
Has anybody here used a Ouija board? So we were talking about channeling. Has anybody used a Ouija board?
Yes. No, but I got a funny story though.
One at a time. One at a time, everybody, please. One at a time. Go ahead, Elvis.
You have a funny story about a Ouija board?
Yeah, I used to work with this girl. And, she was from the hood, and, she come into work one day and she's all like, Nate, guess what I got? I was like, what'd you get? He's like, I got Jumanji. And I was like, put that shit back. And she's like, what are you talking about? I'm like, put that shit back. Don't fuck with that shit. And she's like, it's just a game. And I said,
what's Jumanji?
I said, Jumanji, you know, like the movie, and then it was like based off like a board game.
Oh, okay. I never saw the movie. Okay.
Okay. She's like, why not? It's just a board game. And I was like, look, you know how black folk don't fuck with a Ouija board? And they're like, yeah. And I was like, white people don't fuck with Jumanji. Get that shit the fuck out of here.
Is that a voodoo board? What is it?
Huh. I mean, I was just with her. But.
Yeah, unfortunately, Clutch was raised in a closet and was only fed pizzas and pancakes.
That's true. and I don't know much about pop culture. I know things about Japanese heavy metal, but I don't.
I was going to say they didn't give you action figures; they gave you Bratz dolls.
That's right. That's right. No, I did have some Star Wars action figures, but they all got sold in a garage sale.
Oh well.
Still have Lego though. It's like better than action figures. But
Big Chief Thunderlord in the house.
How do you spell Jumanji? So Jumanji film series?
No, it was a movie with Robin Williams first, and then they tried to do a sequel that was like in space.
Okay.
So they got the one with The Rock as well.
Yeah, yeah.
But it was like a board game based off this?
Well, the movie came out in the movie. There's a board game in the movie, and that's like the plot of the movie, is that the board game comes to life essentially, and then many years. Well, I want to say many years because I feel like around the time the movie they came out, they put out a board game, but I also feel like it was much later. I'd have to like check that, but at
so
some point,
like the Hellraiser Rubik's Cube.
Yeah.
Okay.
Kind of how like the movie came first and then you could buy the Rubik's Cube at some later point, but right. You know, nobody was actually terrified of the plastic Rubik's Cube. Same with the actual like Jumanji game. But I can say though, like in the Ouija board sense where you kind of, you know, feel your way around or whatever. I mean, it's, you know, all the spooky stories is like a, you know, the spirit takes hold of the thing and then you're no longer, you know, controlling, decoding the message or whatever. I recently got back into dowsing and using pendulums and I started listening to this audiobook where it came from called The Emotion Code, where basically you do like muscle testing to release stored trauma in your body that's blocking energy, and it's manifesting into physical reality in some way. And one of the techniques that were used was like a Ouija board, in that you you stand. One of the ways you can do this, you stand up. You know, after you get used to it, you don't have to close your eyes, but closing your eyes is a good center point. And you basically like you stand up with like your legs, you know, like a little bit spread apart and, you know, like maybe like a little bent at the knee just for gravity purposes. You don't want to like stand stiff. You kind of want to be a little loose. You know, the idea is that, you know, electromagnetism on the planet and your body have more decoding information than your ego mind typically receives. So you're basically like using your body as a biomechanical electromagnetic sort of dowsing rod in a way. Basically, you stand real still, you close your eyes, you try to stand as still as you can, and you start off with a calibration. You close your eyes, and so everything's just dark, and then you just picture like the word like love, and typically the body will start to lean forward on its own. It'll, because you want love, so you'll like lean towards it. And then you fucking wipe your mind. So it's black. You got your eyes closed. And then you think of like the word like hate, and your body should like back up from it or like start to like tilt back. So your tilt forward and your tilt back is your like yes and no, like indicator. And then you start, you know, you start investigating, you start like asking questions, or like you make statements like, it is in my highest and best interest to, I always try to like check the calibration by saying like really like stupid shit that I know the answer to, like, it's in my highest and best interest to fucking go in the other room and shoot myself in the head, you know? And that's usually a no. It's been a no so far, you know, or like, I'll say my name is Nate. My soul is the only soul that inhabits my body, whatever. That sort of thing. But then I'll make a statement like, I'm a chair. I'm a chair named John. I'm clearly not a chair. So, you know, the answer is usually no. And so I will like either like make statements or ask questions. And, you know,
and you do this with a pendulum? make it.
Yeah, you can do it with a pendulum. There's all kinds of different techniques you can
do. Are you familiar with T.C. Lethbridge?
T.C. Lethbridge.
Yeah, he has a book called The Power of the Pendulum.
Oh, no, I haven't heard that one.
Oh, I heard of. Well, it's worth checking out if you're into pendulums. Oh, okay. From what I understand, he's like
the pendulum dude.
I heard a podcast about him.
I have used a drum as a sort of a cleansing device and a way to detect electromagnetic energy around a person's body and residual electromagnetic energy in my home. And I was taught this. Yes. I learned this technique from a guy that was passing through Spokane. Melissa knows him. He went by the name of Owaka, but he basically gave up a lot of stuff just to go down the shamanic path. And I asked him about cleansing of the home and cleansing of like residual energy in my home. And he had showed me basically how to. He basically called it like a dance and stuff. And when you're dancing around somebody, like basically the drum, you're hitting it like doom, 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 doom. And there's certain parts of around a person's body that where it's stronger. And there's this, you know, you've heard of the term boundaries before, right? Well, there's a psychic boundary that you cannot cross unless you get permission. And so I was sitting there with a buddy of mine. He's in our Telegram group. His name, I'm not going to put out his name because I haven't got permission, but basically what I did was he showed me the technique. It kind of freaked me out the first time I learned it, but then as I got used to it more and more and more, like I was able to cleanse my house without having to use the sage. It only works as long as it's lit, or prayer or doing any of that kind of stuff. But basically he was asking me to, he just said, is if there's some place that you feel like you can't cross, well, you're asking whatever's there that's trying to keep you from going in there to dance with you. And I swear to God, man, I heard what was like in between the beats. I heard what was like atonal music. And he described that is the people of the other side, like trying to play music with you. That is the natural rhythm of the earth. And I've only heard this before a few times before an event. Which is this weird, like atonal, like it sounds like bells and like music, but it sounds like harmonics too. So it's really, really weird. But yeah, I've been able to cleanse the home. But the idea is you go clockwise and counterclockwise using the drum, and eventually that person's consciousness syncs up with yours, right? And as they get used to you and allow you to go around them, like you can cross that boundary. But the boundary is always straight ahead. So wherever their consciousness or their head is at that point, that energy is sent straight there. And so that's what I learned. I learned that technique, and it was fascinating and stuff. So it's almost like real magic in a way. But we all know that like beats, music, a certain frequency, right? Or beats between, I believe it's 130, 145 beats per minute. Basically allows you to go in an altered state of consciousness. That's why you hear that beat that's really fast with shamanic drumming. And it's supposed to send you back to your subconscious, back to like when you were in the womb listening to your mother's heartbeat. So everyone has a different heart, you know, different frequency, because their mother, their, you know, when you were in the womb as a baby, being you basically are able to sync up with that, and then it'll take you somewhere. Okay? Just a thought, just letting you know. But yeah, it's sort of like using it as a dowsing rod or an energy. So Big Chief Thunderlun says, does it mean that if you feel the ground slightly shaking, but there is no recorded seismic activity in the area? I'm not sure what you're referring to right there. Are you talking about a drum circle? Yes, harmonic. South Osmond says energy sphere is harmonious. Yes, very much so. You know, anyone want to chime in? Melissa, South Osman, who would like to come on? Whoever unmutes themselves that wants to talk, please let me know your thoughts. Go ahead, Oz.
I was going to say, when I had the Kundalini experience a few years back, it came up like a freight train from the bottom of my feet. And I don't know if anyone's ever experienced that. That's another interesting sort of thing around the what you're talking about, you know, to take you to a different level. And it was like my whole body went into a slow spasm all the way up, but it was shaking, but I knew I could control it, but I didn't because I wanted to allow it. It was virtually like an epileptic fit sort of feeling, if I've never had one, but I gather. And then when it got up into my crown chakra, it just all these green and blue like spider web lights were all around me, you know, like it's like silk spider webs. And
were
I heard this just before it happened.
Were you meditating
heard,
when this happened? Or
oh, yeah. Did, yep.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's just like a meditating. Spontaneous experience. Just
No, I was deliberately meditating on my pineal gland. Okay. And just before it happened, I heard this. It was like a bang, you know, within pretty much that same time frame. And so I don't know, just if anyone's ever experienced that, that's how I, when I cracked my pineal gland, I believe. But I had another scary experience where the energies tried to leave my head, and because I'd been drinking, they hadn't left, and I thought that I was going to die. Actually, I'm getting a headache now just thinking about the experience. It was like my head was exploding. Yeah. So I've had two really, really big encounters with like the Kundalini and that sort of nearly going to the next level. But definitely it was the other experience was quite pleasant where I seen all the lights and that. But yeah, the noise I still remember was like a branch, you know, a big tree falling down in the forest, this huge, and then I was there. Yeah, it was really, that's what I wanted to do. And I think the blue and the green lights was because of my heart chakra and my lung chakra, is that's why I seen these blue and green, like I said, it's like, it was like silky spider webs. Just, yeah. So I just wanted to share that experience.
Yeah, I used a Ouija board a long time ago, and you know, I kind of wasn't, you know, it worked as far as like how Ouija boards are supposed to work, but I just thought it was all psychology. I did not think there was actual spirits controlling the oracle.
Do you like experience? I had one as a child. I'm just curious if it was similar.
Say that again.
What was your like actual experience? Like, what did you feel? I had one as a child, you know.
And I didn't really feel anything. I was like a teenager, and I just thought it was fun and interesting. So I would use it with like a friend or my mom or my sister or something, and we would just, you know, we would just ask it questions, like it was a crazy eight ball or something, and. It wasn't like we were asking a spirit questions. We were just asking questions to.
And they're like crazy, like it moving on its own, or did you feel things move? Just kind of curious.
Well, the way I felt it, because it's like yourself and the other person, they both have, it's usually two or more people. They have their hands on the oracle. It's usually just two people. And I just kind of thought it was a combined psychology or combined subconscious of myself and the other users. So it did feel spooky as the oracle's moving around the board, but I thought, well, this is clearly, I was like, clearly this can't be a spirit that's doing this. You know, this is just, we're kind of co-moving this oracle, and it gets predictive too, as it's moving about. If it's completing a sentence or something, you can kind of, you know, it gets faster and faster.
My experience is very different, so that's very, very curious.
So you've used one? What was your experience?
I was probably about 10. My best friend's mom was really into like witchcraft, and we grabbed it and started using it. No real answers, like actually like the Ouija board itself was very, you know, lame, nothing exciting, no answers. We started playing around with it, making our own. It is what happened shortly after that raised attention. Her entire house lost power. We started smelling some weird things to the point that we actually left. Her mom came home from work and was like, what was going on? She like instantly knew there was something, like I said, she said that we now have a young girl in the house, And the house ever since kind of just had some weird things happening.
And you smelled weird things. Would it have a sulfur smell or smell bad? Or
it was more like a rotten meat kind of a smell.
Okay. Yeah, they say that paranormal doesn't smell very good, typically.
Yeah, well, it's very, another...
As a kid, it was very unique.
Well, you know, traditionally within the Nordic faith and a lot of Celtic and European faiths, it was the woman who was the channeler, the medicine woman, to be able to, because of the nurturing nature and sensitivity. I'm not saying that all women are like that. I'm not trying to generalize. I'm just saying that traditionally, for some reason, the spirits answer women a lot. Not that it's starting to, you know, and I have some criticisms about the new form of liberal witchcraft. Don't get me wrong, but there traditionally all of that stuff comes straight back to the demonization of the Nordic faith and their cedar, right? And then eventually it started to envelop through, you know, Protestant and Catholic faiths, whatever, to demonize those that were midwives and that those that followed that tradition. What should we go ahead and talk? Let's talk about what is the weirdest paranormal experience that any of you have ever faced, whether it be something you did on your own or something that was rather random or coincidental.
I have something that's kind of a relevance of what we've been talking, and it's very recent.
Tell me. Sure.
So it was after some shrooms going to go to sleep.
Mm-hmm.
Can you hear me? Hello?
Yeah, we can hear you. I'm here. Mute myself. I try to mute myself before I let people talk, just because I don't want to hear you. You know, what if I cough or breathe or, you know?
Absolutely. So it was going in. It was, you know, clearing the mind of any expectations, letting, you know, as I go to sleep, it was, if there is something, you know, I can experience, let it happen. I'm free. I'm willing. And as you were saying about the lights flickering, almost like strings, multicolored, very vibrant, almost like shape-shifting. And then these thoughts were like, I'm being abducted. And I'm like, no, I'm not. I'm grounded. Like, I could feel my body in my bed. And I kept coming back to that. And I'm like, but it's okay. Like, let this happen. I have something to say, let it say. And let's just put it this way. Again, like people were talking previously, the whole new world experience, revelations within the self were made, like literally waking up feeling like a whole new person, to the point I really do think it was like a subconscious abduction versus like a physical body out experience type of thing.
So you felt you were abducted and sort of the next day after you felt like a whole new person after the abduction?
Yes.
That's interesting. That's very interesting. Go ahead, Mojo.
I was going to say, it sounds like a walk-in. There's cases within the paranormal where there is some sort of transference of another consciousness or something. Like there's a part of you that, I mean, it usually goes with people that have had depression, that have come close to wanting to kill themselves. And there's been stories where people have had some spirit, they've made a deal in some way on the astral plane or whatever, where they transferred consciousnesses. And there are cases where people forgot almost their whole past, but remembered a whole new history from what they did. And I remember hearing about these cases. There's different things. There's walk-ins, possessions.
And that's,
go ahead.
That's definitely kind of the feeling I got. The message was real that at one point in my childhood that I can't remember, but it's going to be revealed to me in time, I was pretty much like physically abducted and things were done. And I'm finally like accepting it and like letting go of that control, letting go of this fear and allowing it to actually like take place and happen. Like that was kind of the message I received.
So there, the message was you were abducted earlier in childhood and you're going to have to accept what had happened to you. Is that
correct?
What you're
saying? Like, yeah, not necessarily like in a negative way, that it's more of, like, I've had these feelings, I've had these weird things my whole life, and it's more like acknowledging it and being like, it's not a scary thing, don't hide it no more, embrace it.
Hmm.
That's awesome.
And was this like as a teenager or in your 20s, or when did
I'm talking, I've had these things, this abduction, I'm saying probably early, 5-6 years old, or younger than 10, we'll go with that.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
Yes.
It's pretty early. It's early. Huh.
I've had a lot of those experiences. We talked about them on my previous podcast, and I think I've talked them on Oz's show, and I've talked them on Big Chief Thunderlung's show. But yeah, mine started at a very early age too. I started having what I thought were I wouldn't classify as an out-of-body experiences as a child, but as I look back at it, I almost felt like I was able to leave and they say that the children, right, being what they are, like you're open and they seem to have some sort of connection to that, being able to see that. But I had random experiences as a child, floating around my house. Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, go ahead. Go ahead. You go ahead.
Well, you want to hear it? Okay, I'll tell you a story. What do you want to hear? Do you want to hear an ET experience? Do you want to hear a God experience? Do you want to hear God's
experience? You're talking
about
floating around your house.
Okay, let's do that. We'll go into astral projection. All right. So, as a child, my mom would lie me down to sleep, and I'm telling you right now, I have memories of going all the way back since my awakening, all the way to me crawling on all fours in front of my aunt. So my memory goes all the way back. And one of the things I do remember is they lay me down for a nap and say my parents were going to have people over or someone was coming by, right? I would think that I was awake the whole time and I'm sitting there floating around them as they're having their discussions, and I'm a part of the discussion, but they can't hear me or see me. And there was this memory I had of floating around, just kind of like you're floating around like anti-gravity style, just kind of floating there. And there was this thought in my head that told me, well, if you flap your arms like a bird, you'll be able to move around. And so I started doing that. Okay. And so I'm moving around these, My parents are having a conversation. I'm watching them, and then I wake up, and it was like I never left. Well, this was preceded by some pretty strange shit that started to happen. And one of my earliest memories was I'm flying over my neighborhood. And my neighborhood was on the side of a mountain, and we lived on the top of a hill, like on the very top of the foot of Mount Helix, which is a mountain that's in San Diego, California, and we were like very kind of the edge of it. And there was a school, an elementary school, down the street called Fuerte School. And they had a kindergarten playground, and they had the first through, I believe, fourth grade, and then they had fifth and sixth grade special playground, like on one side. And then down below was this large area that was both a mixture of like jungle gym stuff and like this huge field that led to like trees, a little bit of grass, and there was a lot of dirt, a lot of granite all over the place. And as I was flying down over by the fourth grade playground, and it's basically all asphalt, and then there's buildings here, what I would say is my left. I guess it depends on when you are. And there's this big gated area, and each area is kind of lifted up into different sections, from the street down to the school, to the fourth grade playground, down to the larger playground, which goes down into another like step kind of area, right? And I swear to you, I was flying over this playground and I saw a UFO parked on the asphalt.
What shape?
And there were little green, like your typical flying saucer.
Okay.
Continue. And there were little green men, and I knew they were aliens, like, or something like that, or like entities of some kind. But the first thing that came to my head was aliens. And at that point, I, like, being as young as I was, probably about 5 or 6, I didn't really pay attention to UFOs and stuff like that. Or, you know, I was maybe a little sheltered from it, but I understood these as being aliens. And there was maybe about 8 of them, and they were taking soil samples from the sandbox.
And then
I woke up. And I woke up. That was one of my earliest dreams of that. But it was also there was a lot more of that kind of stuff. I've talked about the time in 1988. I saw a drone outside my window. I didn't know it was a drone. I was going to bed. I was up late at night. I was sitting at my desk. I used to draw, like, all the time. Like, I guess that was a way for me to, like, unstress out or whatever. And I was about 15 or 16 years old. And I had the light on, and I went to go lay in bed. And I lived in a two-story house that was up on top of a hill. And in this, like, it's not really two story. It was more like a loft at the end of my house, I guess you would say, like, and then there's a bunch of bedrooms downstairs and, you know, whatever, you know, my parents at the time had money. And I went to turn off the light, and that's when I saw, like, something hovering outside of my window, and it looked like a tire with a little red light that was going around in a circle. And I turned on the light real quick to go see what it was. And this thing was completely silent, and it flew very low, like over the roofs of the houses that were, like, going down, and it just kept going, and it made no sound. And at the time, I had no point of reference. The only point of reference I had was, like, Terminator comics, you know, where they were showing the HKs flying, so I didn't know what it was. And I thought that I had seen, I thought I saw a UFO, and then that proceeded, like, some pretty invasive, like, what I would call, like, abduction type stuff, where it was intrusive at this point, where it was before I was kind of an observer. This time, it almost makes me feel, and this is a subject I like to tie into later on, one of our podcasts, is a topic, is the idea of a military abduction. And I think I saw something I wasn't supposed to see. And I had, like, invasive, like, alien shit come to me. And I don't know what the hell that was, but, to me, like, because what I saw afterwards, we had moved 3 months later, and I moved to an area that was in Rancho San Diego, and Clutch, you're kind of familiar with that, right? Like, you know, the area, and sort of a track home area. And, I don't remember going to sleep that night. I don't remember what happened. All I remember is I thought the day before, wouldn't it be great to go on board a UFO? And I remember this distinctly, but I remember not remembering the week or anything that happened previous to this. And it was just, it just was pitch black. Okay. There's different things going on right now on our podcast platform on Telegram. Please, everyone that's here, if you want to join us in a discussion forum on Telegram, anytime you want, post away, engage. Let's start a hive mind to combat the hive mind imposed on us. Anyway, so what happened was I was back at my old house, and it felt like a dream, right? And our house, like I said, was sort of a long two-story house on a hill with that little loft on top. There was a pool down below that looked down the hill, large, like African daisy, like hill, right? Just filled with African daisies and different trees. And you guys can look up this house if you want to. It's 4670. Is it Marcia Lane? I forget, man. Damn, why am I forgetting some stuff? Anyway, I was walking from the area from where the pool was, right? We had a nice pool in the backyard. And there's an area between the pool and the house and the garage that has two fences that have gates on them. And then there's a door going to the garage. And then it leads to a driveway that winds down. And as the dream started as me walking through the first gate, and then I hear this robotic voice that sounds kind of like mechanical, but very, like, I wouldn't say it's masculine, but it's very deep, like I couldn't hear it. I couldn't make out what they were saying, man. And then I had this vision of like an alien's face, and I look up, and there's three silver octagonal-shaped craft. They were red underneath. They were flying in a vector formation. They were flying kind of up and down. And as I saw them, I called out to them, and I said, please don't leave me here. And then one of them landed. And as I got closer to it, as the other two took off, the thing got big, and something that looked like a fetus like grabbed me and pulled me in. And then all of a sudden I'm being inundated by like different imagery. I hear what sounds like, you know how the throats of Tibetan monks sound? It's really like oh
yeah,
like that. Yeah. And then I see like what looks like a mask of like an Aztec mask, and something's on fire behind it. It's very distorted. Then I'm in a room that looks like a white room with like a dentist office, where there's an alcove that is made of the floor, and I'm leaning on a table, and there's these, they looked white. Now I couldn't tell you if this is what I saw and it was real, or what grabbed me was the actual entity, but what I saw was different from the entity that pulled me in. The thing that pulled me in looked like a fetus with a weird head. Like it was pinkish in shape. Hmm. This stuff that I saw were little white, 4 foot tall guys that were all over me. And then there was something that was looking me right in the face. And I swear, I thought it was angry at me. And it was all distorted. It was all distorted. I couldn't tell what its features were that were looking me straight in the eye. And then I saw like what looked like wires and stuff being sucked out. And then it just went black, and I had this huge headache, like someone had taken a hammer and a metal spike and just jammed it right through my third eye. And as I woke up, I was in a room that was basically like a TV room, basically. It wasn't really a room, but I slept on a couch. And so this room was very small, probably about the size of the room I have right now. So I couldn't tell you the dimensions of it, but it's basically a couch that goes, you know, we will say east to west. And then there's a window that's facing west. And then there's on the other side, there's a book, a book stand that is built up against the wall. And then there's a TV and there's a door. And as I wake up, finally gaining consciousness, there is a gray alien with a satchel with its hand up. And as I regain consciousness and I'm able to move, the thing disappears.
Was it a tall or short?
There was gray. I would say it was like a 5 foot tall gray.
I think that's tall for a gray.
Yeah, but
maybe.
Yeah, it was between. No, well, the ones that I saw that were small were like 4 foot tall and white, whitish.
Okay.
Or maybe that was just the lighting in the room. I don't know, but I remember. I remember that what that thing was, I mean, I called it a time life alien because at the time, like there was, you know, there were people claiming abductions, and there was Ridley Stryber's book that had come up, Communion, with a picture of a gray on it. Right. And so at the time I didn't know what I was seeing. And this has been intrusive each time. Like these things come repeatedly. And this happened over like 4 or 5 months, dude. I had something try to grab me from a television set. I've had, It's fucking crazy. It's fucking crazy. So that's my experience. There's more. There's more. I've had one recently too. I had one very recently that.
Well, we're gonna have more shows, so you don't have to. You don't got to get.
Yeah, yeah. No, I'm not gonna. I'm not gonna let it out. But I'm just letting you know what I experienced. Yeah. So I don't mean to take over the.
I know Elvis has gone through some weird stuff. What's one of your top two weirdest things, Elvis?
Well, I can say that by far, you know, this, like many things, is always up for debate. You know, my old roommate and I would often like debate this. He's very much like a consciousness comes from the brain and everything is pretty much like meaningless and we're just like fucking talking apes, end of story, whatever. My first, my first noticeable, DMT experience, I had my Kundalini rising experience, or if I could put it another way, if it was a simulation, it was the closest thing that I could think of to say what the experience was a simulation of. And I've been thinking about framing it in that way, like all those DMT experiences essentially be like, if I didn't die and live a bunch of other lives and meet my star family in some corner of hyperspace in a fucking waiting room, if that's not what happened, then I can say at the very least, I experienced the most realist Guitar Hero simulation of that experience.
Okay. I believe that DMT is actually real. Like, I don't think it's all in your head. I do think you go places. So you met your star family on a DMT experience? Hello?
I think we lost him there real quick.
I wanted to hear about his star family on DMT.
He'll come back on. Elvis, if you're listening in, please call back in. We can move on to Oz here. Yeah. I don't mean to have everyone get cut off or whatnot, but if you're down to talk about experience, please do.
Hello? Yeah, I can jump in. Go ahead, man.
Go ahead.
Yeah, you're similar to yourself when I was younger, probably around about the age of 4 to maybe 6, I can remember astral traveling, like especially going to the toilet. I'd just be there, obviously not having a leak, thankfully. I didn't wet the bed. But we used to have a tennis court, and I used to float up on top of that at night because I used to play late night tennis. And I swear I used to be up around the lights and watching the tennis game when I was younger. When I was 4, my uncle died, which I was very close to, and apparently my mum was adamant that I was in the bed all the time, that they found him and took him out and all that, you know. And I said, no, I explained exactly where he was sitting, the whole shenanigans, you know. To this day, I can see it as clear as light, you know. So that was another bit weird. Then I had I was in a presence of two psychopaths, well, murderers. They were killing people. Holy and shit. Yeah, I was picked up on the side of the road one night in my 20s, just, you know, young bloke, half pissed and looking for trouble, you know, bit of a party. And these two lads, guys picked me up. I'm not sure their age. They'd probably be in their 30s, 35-ish. Anyway, so they took me back to their place. And as the thing that startled me straight away was they had a full enclosed fence within about 8 foot from the house, which I thought was weird, with two rock wheelers in there. So I felt pretty vulnerable when I went and went, okay, you know, I'm half stung. And then I had a drink of scotch and a joint with them, and they must have put something in there because what had happened, I went to the toilet probably half an hour into it, and they just sort of, the positioning looked weird. And I had this voice tell me to get out, whatever you need to do, get out of here, get out of here. It was a lady's voice. And I couldn't accuse them. Like, I had two options, or just smash them in the head. But I, you know, am I going completely paranoid? But I felt my body going, you know, like they drugged me. So I managed to get to the door and get out the gate without the dogs getting me, you know. And I don't know how I'd done that. That was just a miracle because I couldn't get out the toilet window. And I thought if I did anyway, I'd have to get all the way around the side. So the quickest escape was straight from the door to the gate, you know. But I had to get past these two guys. But I wasn't sure, see. And 2 weeks later, they'd found, I think it was four people they'd already killed, young, you know, teenagers and people my age, you know. So that was a real trippy thing. Yeah, that's a couple. Yeah. I have a telekinesis with my son for some reason, my second son. For instance, we just had the dog pass and we had this vivid dream of the dog in light, like raying, and we both explained it the same. And then as he left my room, he's about five steps to his door from my room. And
telekinesis. I think telekinesis,
whatever. Yeah, it's just something that apparently can happen between parents and their children.
I think telekinesis is where you move objects, and telepathy, yep. I think, is more like mind-to-mind stuff.
More telekinesis, yep.
So you were moving an object?
Yeah. Well, what had happened, as he got to his door, which is about five steps from mine, you hear this crash in his room, all right? Yeah. And this spray can had picked up, and he literally seen it. The only way to explain it, this can behind everything would have had to have picked up in the air and then probably about 2 foot or 3 foot and then flung onto the floor. And he actually seen it virtually quite a few different little experiences when we get together with our energies. Yeah.
Wow.
Pretty crazy stuff, man.
Yeah, it's pretty trippy. Yeah, I haven't heard about telekinesis in that fashion where so it's like his energy and your energy combine and shit happens like that? Or
because of a dog that he'd lost, I think, that we had this real big thing going on for the 2 weeks after it, because we had to take the dog down and get him put down, and he came with me. It's his dog, and we're both very close to it, you know. It was only young, had your tumors, and was just like the only humane thing to do to the poor thing. And, yeah, we were having dreams of the dog, like real vivid, but the dog was glowing. It was like when I look outside, the whole grass, every blade was this fluorescent. You could see just every blade, like, yeah, really weird stuff. And, and then when we're talking about it, and, you know, and, yeah, as soon as, and the only thing could explain it was what he witnessed, which is the weird thing, he actually got to witness it, because there's no way if a rat, we don't even have, because I'm up high anyway, so we don't have rodents in the house ever, you know, nothing like that could have done that, or an animal. The only way it could have fallen off, if even an animal went past a cat or something, it would have had to smash through a couple of other things right in front of it, you know. So... And yeah, he actually witnessed it, because when I said, well, that's the only thing that can explain how that happened. And yeah, so that was pretty trippy. I've had out-of-body experiences as well. Like I said before, with my, you know, opening the pineal gland, the crown chakra got pretty bad. It was like a jackhammer in my head. It was like my head. I thought I was actually going to die. I really did, but I continued the thing. I shouldn't have done it. I was stupid because I was drinking, you know. But yeah, I couldn't leave my, the energies couldn't, leave the Kundalini couldn't leave my crown. Yeah.
Wow.
So that's just a few things I've gone through. Yeah.
It's interesting. It's interesting. That's would you fascinating. Lucid dreaming and out of body experiences are different, or cousins, or the same thing?
I think they sort of go into the astral realm. I guess they're pretty much on par, wouldn't you think? Between lucid dreaming and astral travel, there's pretty much par on par with each other, I think.
I think
there's some one kind thing of that correlation in there.
One at a time, everybody, please. If you want to go ahead and finish what you were going to say, Clutch, then we'll let Elvis talk. I'm sorry, I have to moderate so it doesn't become a clusterfuck for everybody.
Yeah, I was just going to ask. With it, well, I was going to state that with the out of body experience, the one thing that people report is when they leave their body, they're able to turn around and look at them, their body sleeping on the bed while they're floating above. Whereas a lucid dream, it's like you're already in some kind of an environment or a different planet or a different world or something, and you just sort of become conscious that you're dreaming. So I don't know if they're. I've wondered if they're the same. I just wondered what different people's opinions are about it.
The main difference, I think, with astral travel and lucid dreaming is that there's usually a cord involved with astral travel, where lucid dreaming, there doesn't seem to be a cord involved from your abdomen. So that would probably be separated.
Interesting. Elvis, you had something to say?
that all of, like, a lot of experiences, these things we talk about, there's somebody that I was listening to just the other day, and it was sort of kind of like a spiritual consciousness person versus like a science-y person. And there was something the science-y person had said when the spiritual consciousness person asked him, you know, about, you know, about some sort of things. And the science-y person noted that regardless of what anyone believes, it comes down to the data. And that data shows things that can't really be like believed or like argued outside of the fact. And that, that there was a lot of data, consistent. It was about consistent data. So anything from lucid dreaming, out of body, astral travel, you know, psychedelic experiences where there's a consistency of the same stories like coming in. I went through this a lot after my, after my first couple DMT experiences. I was asking every single fucking person I could fucking find. I'm like, yo, my guy, you over there, you ever done the deems? And you're like, yeah. Like, tell, like, without even asking anything, I'd be like, tell me all about it. And you're like, well, first thing I noticed is like, I showed up in this room and there was like other things there. And then, I think it was Brendan who said to me once that he was in a space and he kept hearing all these like soft, like these soft sighing noise, like, ah, ah, like kind of like noises. And then he said it felt like the whole room was like having sex with every inch of his body or something like that. And all this just to say that a lot of these stories, of experiences, there's a consistency to them, and in some degree, repeatable. If you become good at lucid dreaming, then you can repeat things. Same thing with astral travel or like out of body, whatever it is that you do. If you get good at it and you can repeat it, then for one thing, I think it kind of like calms it down and it becomes like a normalcy in a way. I was telling Mojo, I remember like some months back where I started to feel like the whole DMT experience was becoming more novelty than anything else. And I realized that it's because from the perspective of like a human mind who's never experienced anything like this, all these things are like out of this world. They're like these incredible experiences and you just want to like experience them all and that sort of thing. But if you think of yourself, or at least part of yourself, from that you actually came from that place, that that was your starting point, and that the human experience is sort of a condensed.
Unfortunately, he got cut off there. I think he'll probably come back on. It's no big deal. We'll figure this out. What he was trying to talk about right there is basically that there comes a point. Go, there you are. You're back.
Oh, there you okay. I don't know why.
I'll let you finish what you're saying. I just wanted to, you got cut off, so I want to. I just was trying to explain it.
What was the last thing I said?
That there's a part of it that goes from being, from what I understood, is being blasted off and being pure consciousness without having control, that there's a similarity between lucid dreaming and being able to control the elements of say the trip you're going through.
The consistency. Yeah. Like once consistency and repeatable experiences like come in, then the mystic experience isn't as mystical anymore. Now it's just a Tuesday on the astral plane.
Well, you know, what I've heard from the beings on that other side is basically, what are you searching for? I've been kicked out of there before, right?
Sure, yeah.
And they just, all of a sudden, you're sober. Boom! You know, I've literally had something like push me out. And what I think it is like, and there's a lot of people that abuse it, right? And it's like, okay, you went in there, you were searching for something, you were looking for your consciousness, right? And what I used to call a vacation on the couch, where I'm trying to get away from stuff. But the more you do that, like, the more you become self-aware, right? I mean, I'm, you know, people would disagree with me, but there has been recent studies within the psychedelic aspect by, I think it was a doctor in Britain, right? And he was basically the head of their medical science, and they did tests of people's brains while they were on this stuff. And because he didn't file the narrative that the British government was looking for, is Dr. David Nutt, right? If you look at him, he talks about this openly. Big Chief Us just says right now, looking for something we're not ready for. I've done that with DMT. Come on in if you want to talk about this too, Chief. We'll have you on. But basically what I think is that you've done your searching. You became self-aware. And there's only so much information you can get, right? And there are people who abuse it, who are constantly looking and never found the answer, even though the answer was right there. And what I think it is it's, I think it's like death, right? Like, we're revisiting, we're getting a short little trip into death, and now we're going back into consciousness or self-awareness. I'm going to let Melissa come on. I think she wanted to say something real quick. I want to bring her on. And Melissa, are you there? Missy?
I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am. So you had something you wanted to chime in on, right?
Oh, I was just going to go back to the recent experience, and where I definitely had the out-of-body experience. I could see myself laying in bed and, like, know I was okay. But at times, like, if I felt, like, really uneasy, I could also, like, come back and, like, oh, I'm in my physical body now. I can feel my bed. And then I would have to, like, do breath work and alter, and then go back to where I could see my body again.
Well, you know, there's a lot of experiences that go into that, right? Including people who've had near-death experiences and stuff. I have a question to pose to you all. I mean, being that we're all here, we're all on the same page, and we've all had really strange experiences, either induced by our own self or through searching, do you believe that right now at this period of time that we are heading towards a grand awakening of sorts, sort of a psychic idea of oneness? And do you believe that what's going on right now, as I have called, like, an evasive form of humanity that's evolved alongside us, that seems to want to lead us, and they don't seem to have good intent, right? Do you believe that all of these things that are being thrown at us right now, going back, I mean, the best experience I could say was all the bullshit during COVID, and we've all, in the different areas where we live, we've all experienced this form of, like, authoritarian control. Do you believe that they're trying to feed on our fear? Do you believe they're trying to create fear so that we don't experience this awakening that's coming? And I want to go back and throw this at you, because I definitely believe that there's this upcoming planetary alignment has something to do with it. What are your thoughts on this, and who wants to chime in? Whoever on mics first, I'll go ahead and do it. We'll do Elvis.
Yo. It definitely feels like it's headed towards something. And it's weird to me in a lot of ways, where I guess before I liked the more, you know, Star Wars-y story aspect of it. Like, you know, alien race trying to fix their atmosphere. They genetically do the human things, and, you know, it ties up all the loose ends with religion, spirituality, and aliens, and government cover-ups, and, oh, this, like, big awakening has happened, and everybody's going to wait. You know, I thought and had hoped that maybe that like 2012 was just going to send out a shockwave and open everyone's third eye. And we were all going to be all like, oh, now we all see or whatever. So like that very romanticized story aspect of it all was really appealing for like a long time. Now it all kind of seems like a bad Marvel movie in some ways, like the five worst plots from all the worst Marvel movies. It's aliens, it's World War III, it's solar flares, you know, it's like all the things and stuff. And when I, at some point, I guess I kind of like thought, like if the pyramids were created on the fourth dimension, and if these things had this really badass technology, if we used to be, you know, humans that were, you know, could move rocks and control the elements, you know, with like special training and all this stuff, if everything comes down from a higher dimensional plane and condenses into here, it's like literally constructed, you know, in an imagination like realm, and then it manifests into a.
Okay. Oh, it's okay. It's happening. We cut in, we cut off. It's technical issues that happen, and that's okay. So, Melissa, did you want to chime in real quick?
Yeah. I actually just kind of have a little different view on it all. I don't think it is going to be like a great awakening. Not in a mass form, like I think a lot of us hope anyway. I think the numbers are going to increase, but it's going to be more generations to come. Breaking cycles, having more awake children and four on, and, you know, their grandchildren and their grandchildren. And it's going to be a slow progress, unfortunately. I don't think we're going to be lucky enough to have this, you know, alien approaches the Earth and we all have this grand awakening, unfortunately.
I think it's going to happen, but it's going to come through pain. I think that's where how the grand awakening starts. That's what I think. I don't think it's going to be a psychedelic awakening. I don't think it's going to be. What I believe, and it's been my experience through what I experienced, what I called an awakening, was both physically because of, well, one, being on autopilot, not sleeping correctly, but then getting good sleep. But two, that awakening that I had was very painful. And then you start to see the world and these conspiracies starting to come to light. You had questions beforehand. You always felt like there was something wrong, like the Matrix, right? But then you started to question more and more and more. You started to expand your consciousness more and more and more until you got to a point where all of it seems sort of like redundant material, right? And in order...
Oh, go ahead. My phone keeps doing that. Oh, well.
It's okay. It's all right. It happens. We go through all this stuff. I'm very patient with it. So if you get disconnected for whatever reason, you can come back in. It's no big deal. But what were you going to say?
I was just saying that definitely seems something is happening. And I used to be like more into like how romantic the whole story of like Anunnaki and, you know, the whole big rising thing and everything. But, you know, now I've kind of almost gotten to a point where like, well, if the physical part of myself is the smaller part of myself and the non-physical self is the bigger part of myself, you know, come down here to do all these ritual things and pay bills and have relationships and careers and, you know, span it over several lifetimes, because this is a training school, right? You know, we're here to experience things. You know, awareness is experiencing consciousness, experiencing ourselves in these finite forms or whatever. We are free from being amorphous blobs, but we are confined in the definition of these bodies, whatever. It just seems like something's going to happen, but it just seems like a weird thing to construct. Like if you think about like the evil secret government and the Illuminati, and they have this big plan, but like, don't worry, there's like the good guys and they're coming to awake us all, you know. I'm just all like, I mean, a story is a story or whatever, I, you know, and it's definitely a lot cooler than, you know, half of the other shit that mankind has made up. But at the same time, it just seems, dude, you know what this is? I'll sum it up. It's that episode of South Park where the fucking with Tal, it was the first episode with Tally, and he fucking, they just want their fucking GameCube back. And so like the